Welcome to the Serenity Now podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Little, and you are listening to episode number 6. Today, I'm speaking with my great friend, Darcy Newman. She is a multi-talented, multi-passionate person, but today we're speaking about yoga therapy. And we will have some exciting news about a joint project that we're working on towards the end of this podcast. So stay tuned to hear about that. Hello, Darcy. How are you doing?
I am doing great.
That's awesome. I'm so excited for our conversation today. The first little thing I want to throw out is normally I don't get into the story of how I know people because I figure that our listeners, it's probably not going to be that thrilling to them, but I really like our story. So I would like to get into it. And I think we should talk a little bit about it towards the end because we do have something exciting that has to do with our story. But I would like to throw out there, the very cool point is that you and I are from I don't even know how far apart we live. We live a fairly far ways apart. I would guess it's probably about a 6-hour plane ride. Maybe not quite that much, five hours. Anyway, it's quite far away. But we met in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And it was very exciting.
So we crossed several country lines to meet.
We did. And now we are great friends.
Yeah.
And now you're on my podcast.
I know. It's so cool.
It's so cool. Okay. And so amongst many things that you do, so let's just go through quickly. You teach yoga.
I do.
You run teacher trainings.
Yep.
You used to be a nurse.
Correct.
And you're a Pilates trained instructor.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. So today we're going to be focusing on yoga and in particular, therapeutic yoga.
Right? Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So in order to get there, how about you tell us a little bit about your story? What have you done? So you've done many things. So if you want to get into all of the things that you have done and how did they lead you to yoga?
Okay. Well, without making my story really long, I'll start with when I graduated from high school, and most people don't know this about me. I moved to the next largest city from where I lived and grew up, and I started to go to school as a cosmetologist.
Wow.
I know. And I did that. I went halfway and I realized very quickly that that wasn't my calling.
Okay.
So I just worked full time until I decided to go to school for nursing and got into the program and finished that. And I worked about 15 years as a nurse in various venues. I went from being an ICU nurse to organ donation and then to organ transplantation.
That must have been really exciting.
It was. I'm glad I took that route. Yep. It all sort of fell in front of me. Because I really knew that even being an ICU nurse, which can be kind of stressful, wasn't where I wanted to be forever. But the skills I learned as an ICU nurse gave me the skills to go into organ transplantation coordination. And then after that became a organ transplant coordinator.
Okay.
So it was really exciting. However,
was the level of reward greater in that than other nursing fields or?
I think it was. Yeah. I think that's why I probably was, you could probably call organ transplant and organ donation a field in itself at some level, even though they're very, at different ends of a spectrum, of course. But the autonomy that I gained and learned in ICU allowed and opened the door to be an organ transplant coordinator because when you coordinate a case, as we called them, you were on your own and you coordinated everything from, allocating the organs out to individuals to getting the surgeons to the hospital you were at to pick up the organs. And it was really a lot of responsibility and I really enjoyed it. But then, of course, when I had my son, it was a little bit more difficult to be on call, travel, and be up for sometimes, you know, 2-3 days at a time.
Right.
That was a bit much. So
did you have
that
to,
got me into.
Sorry, did you have to go and pick up the organs?
I was the coordinator that allocated them out.
Okay.
So I was at the surgery with the surgeons. Oh, I was, wow. I coordinated it all.
Okay. So the travel wasn't going to pick up the organs.
Correct. The travel was going to the hospital where the death had occurred. In the tri-state area that I live in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So yeah, okay. Sometimes I flew commercial. Most of the time I flew private.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was really, you know, exciting and thrilling. And when I was in my early 20s and early to mid 20s, that was a lot of fun.
Okay.
But okay. It does take its toll on you. Yeah. So from nursing, I started teaching sort of your traditional group fitness, remember step classes?
Yes, I do. early aging ourselves.
Yes. So I did that for years.
Okay.
And that sort of, you know, opened the door to, I was always into fitness. I used to be a long distance runner in high school.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it was sort of a natural navigation to want to stay in fitness at that level.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not sure what got me to go to my first yoga class. I remember how it affected me when I was there and what happened afterwards, because it was not popular at all in the U.S. at all, let alone where I lived. But I walked into the door and I thought, you know, I'm going to try this. And what caught my attention, of course, was the practice. Felt amazing. Mm-hmm. But my yoga teacher was a singer and she brought her guitar to every class. And during our final Shavasana, she would sing to us and play the guitar.
Oh, wow.
And it hit me. It just resonated with my soul. And I thought, I'm going to be a yoga teacher.
Okay.
So back then, so this is the early 90s, back then, it was difficult to find a yoga teacher training where I live because it's a little bit more rural here.
Yeah.
So I had to travel about, you know, 200 miles to a training once a month for, I think it was 9 months at the time, to get my 200-hour training. And even then I wasn't teaching a lot because it just wasn't very accepted here. Right. Not a lot of people knew what it was and they had, you know, their ideas and what they thought it was. Mm. The spirituality of yoga scared people where I was from.
Okay.
So it took a while for me to really build that and teach it on a regular basis. Well, in the midst of all of that, I decided, I wanted to be a Pilates teacher.
Okay.
So I went to Pilates school, really. That took me about 5 years because I traveled, you know, again, for that training, I had to go out of state to a couple different states to get my training in full. So that took me 5 years to accomplish that
and, so
and get all the hours.
You're in North Dakota.
Correct.
Okay. So when you're traveling, you're going to like Minnesota and...
Right. So I would travel down to Minneapolis, which is the closest large city to us. So that's where I went for most of my Pilates training. In addition to Colorado, I had to go there for a little bit of it too.
Yep.
Yeah. So after that, I really enjoyed teaching yoga. It was starting to get a bit more popular. So I went on and got my 500-hour training. Of course, that was in Minnesota as well.
Yep.
Yeah, and I did that for a few years. I opened my first yoga studio, and I was really enjoying the one-on-one work that I was doing as a Pilates instructor. Mm-hmm. And then yoga therapy started to sort of bubble up as a profession, and I decided to go for my yoga therapy training. And that was another long travel. It took me a good year to get that training as well, a year and a half, really. To finish all my hours.
These are big commitments you've put in.
They are. Yeah. They are. But I would do it all again. And they all really feed into what I do now. So I almost can hardly call myself just a pure yoga instructor because I can't help but infuse all of that work into my teaching.
Right. Yeah, that's how it goes, right? It's like our life experiences all come together and lead us to our thing that we end up sharing.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's our uniqueness.
Correct. Right.
Okay. Yeah. So although you are mixing a whole bunch of things together, we're, for the sake of this conversation, we're focusing a little bit more on the yoga therapy or the therapeutic yoga, right?
Yeah, so correct.
Do you want to tell us what is that?
Okay.
What does that encompass?
So it much like yoga, has different influences. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt part of its perspective is the yoga poses.
Okay.
Except it, at least my training, comes at it from a really different perspective, in more of a truly therapeutic perspective. The training I went to had a strong emphasis on somatic yoga. Somatic yoga was coined a term from this gentleman by the name of Thomas Hanna. Okay. And he was trained by Feldenkrais.
Okay.
And so he really worked on, or came at it from an angle of re-educating the body. And it was his belief and Feldenkrais' belief that through our life experiences, our bodies take on those experiences and we hold them in our bodies. And sometimes we develop contractions based on that. And the contractions can, not always, but can eventually lead to pain in our body.
Okay.
And so from their perspective, it was really sort of teaching people to unlearn the habits of these contractions through small, not even controlled, almost small, lazy movements to reintroduce the body to movement that isn't painful.
Okay.
And so their theory was that if you take people into a deep stretch reflex, which can happen in some of your kind of modern yoga classes, right? Can you go deeper? Can you go deeper?
Yeah.
And almost to the point of intense pain for some people. Mm-hmm. Well, somatic theory says absolutely stay away from the stretch reflex. Only take people up to it and then back them away, and then take them back up to the stretch reflex and then back them away. Because taking them into the stretch reflex is the body's way of self-protecting.
Okay.
So it's going to contract. It's going to clamp down and contract. So if we don't go into that, could we possibly help people remember how to move with greater freedom and ease and no pain?
Ah.
So that was the method I was taught in.
Wow. Okay. That's really
kind
of, it is profound, beautiful. And yeah, so going to that edge and then easing off and just back and forth to there.
Correct. Yeah. Now there's, you know, there's a lot more to it.
Right.
It's really about training the neuromuscular system without putting it into override.
Okay. So who can benefit from therapeutic yoga?
Well, so, of course, I want to say everybody can.
Right.
Now, here's what I see. I see a lot of people that are in pain, mm-hmm. are searching for methods that obviously can get them out of pain. They have, and most often will try yoga therapy, A, because it's pretty new practice, but B, only after they've done multiple other venues, chiropractic work, yoga, or excuse me, massage.
Yeah.
They've been to sort of your modern medicine clinic for pain, and all of those things haven't helped. And so they're looking for something more. And I think one of the really great benefits, and at least this is what I emphasize to people, is when you learn the tools of the yoga therapy methods I'm going to show you, you take them home with you and you can practice them. And really, that's where the benefit happens, not showing up to meet me once or twice a week.
Right.
But really, it's the practice that you take home with you and you can do anytime, anywhere, that will start to change your body so that you can remember how to move with greater freedom.
Okay.
So there's homework. There's always homework.
Right. Nice. Okay. So yeah, this remembering how to move and kind of unwinding the places that are keeping us in pain.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, I say everyone, because my yoga therapy shows up in my sort of classic yoga classes.
Right.
Because our modern bodies move different than when the traditional asanas were once developed. And some of the openings that we're looking in people's bodies aren't there like they used to be. We're kind of a seated, mm-hmm. you know, society with our phones and our computers. And that is contracting our bodies different than what we used to see in people's bodies. So right. I feel that just asking people to just automatically open into a posture that their bodies aren't ready for will only cause the body to contract and pull them back down.
Okay.
So it really can be for everybody. Now, you know, it slows people down, gets them to feel things in a new way.
Right.
And sometimes that brings up fear in people, or they simply just don't want to go there.
Right. Or those people that are into the speed of our society. And
correct.
They don't like to slow down.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't you describe kind of like what a class might look like? Let's go with just a pure therapeutic class. What might that look like?
Okay. So typically what I do when I want to introduce somebody to yoga therapy is there's a list of 10 mm-hmm. classic moves. And I will introduce them to these 10 moves. And the idea of the 10 moves is that at some point in your practice, in the practice of these 10 moves, you will have touched upon the body from the top to the bottom.
Okay.
From the neck and shoulders to the rib cage to the middle of the spine to the hips and the lower body.
Okay.
It will be touched upon, you know, in multiple ways if you did all 10 practices.
Okay. So like a full body massage through yoga.
It really is. It really is. Yeah. And it's all kind of centered on the spine, because yoga therapy really believes, at least the method I was trained in, is that all movement is initiated through the spine first. So if we start there with yoga therapy, hopefully we can get you to relax from the inside out versus moving the bigger muscle groups first.
Right. Lovely. I love that. And that's how we develop too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And that's where we will tend to probably hold most of our emotions that causes our body to contract in the first place. With the exception of trauma, that's a little bit different program, trauma, because that's something that has happened to us very suddenly.
Sure.
Right? So you work with people on trauma a little bit different. Not that they don't show up in a group class, but I'm pretty clear in pointing out those kinds of things. You know, if you've had trauma, this mm-hmm. is going to feel different in your body, or you may not want to approach it this way.
Okay. And you're talking about not just a physical trauma, correct? Physical or emotional that you might be holding in the body.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess you've kind of hit on this, but like how would it be different from somebody going to a regular hatha class? Because it's going to be a lot slower, right?
It's going to be a lot slower. Most of the moves are going to be done on the floor.
Okay.
And I typically, even though most people will show up with a yoga mat, what I will ask a lot of people to do is either double mat, mm-hmm. if the studio has mats to do that, or I will have them lay down a yoga blanket, because we spend most of the time on the floor and we want them to really get inside without feeling the hardness of the floor that you can feel on a yoga mat, right? If you were to lay on your yoga mat for a whole hour,
yes,
you would eventually start feeling the hardness of the floor.
Right.
So a second yoga mat or a blanket helps soften that a little bit and gives a little bit different feedback to the body versus the hard floor.
Right.
The first thing I explain to them is we'll be spending most of our time on the floor, and most of what you're going to do isn't going to look like classical yoga poses.
Okay.
That doesn't mean you can't take some of this and introduce it into classical poses, but we won't be doing, you know, your traditional vinyasa flow. Mm-hmm. This is going to give you the opportunity to breathe really deep.
Okay.
And it's also going to give you the opportunity to relax really deep.
Okay.
With these small kind of tiny movements you're going to do.
Okay. So, I mean, it's sounding a little bit similar to like a restorative class in that it's targeting the nervous system, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I would say or speak to probably the biggest difference is in a restorative class. You go into a particular pose, let's mm-hmm. say child's pose,
yep.
and you hold the pose. You're supported by right. multiple yoga tools most of the time.
Yeah.
In yoga therapy, we may use some tools, a strap, for example, or a yoga blanket, maybe even a bolster. Mm-hmm. But you're going to be doing movement,
right?
Really tiny movement. So that would be the big difference between that and restorative.
Okay.
But you hopefully come out feeling the same way.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah. Okay. And then when you infuse it into one of your other classes, like a, you know, quote unquote, regular yoga class.
Yeah.
Now that would go into like a Hatha type class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
So
yeah.
Can you think of a pose just to give us an example, think of a pose and how it's traditionally done one way and how you might lead it a different way, infusing it with therapeutic yoga.
Okay. So let's take sort of your classic seated forward fold.
Okay.
Because a lot of people experience hamstring tightness when they go into a forward fold.
Yes.
And then what happens is their spine ends up compensating for that tightness. Okay. Their legs are straight. Yep. Their spine rounds when they go into a forward fold. I would probably, if I was going to set them up to do this from a therapeutic perspective, is I'd first place something under their knees so their legs were not straight.
Okay.
And their knees would stay in a little bit of a bent position. I would give them a strap, but only as a way of giving themselves feedback into their body. And I would give some explanation of what I mean by that. And first would say, you know, the strap is just something you're going to hold.
Okay.
And it's going to help you feel the length between your feet and your hips. We're going to try to avoid not pulling ourselves forward by using the strap mm-hmm. and only let the strap guide me forward when my body is ready to go there. So okay. your body is going to give the direction, not the mind.
Yep.
And then I would have them go into their first forward fold on their exhale, only to the point in which they begin to feel the stretch reflex. First, I would give them a definition of what I mean by the stretch reflex. Once you feel that, on your next inhale, I'm going to have you come back up halfway from the point, from your starting point.
Okay.
And then we're going to go back into the forward fold. And we're going to do that several times. We're going to do it really slow so that they begin to feel that they're almost giving their body permission to go deeper without the struggle of the stretch reflex and the pain that they'll sometimes allow themselves to force themselves through. So pain is another thing. You know, you will, the moment you feel pain, that is your body telling you, giving you the signal that that's far enough. And we're going to honor that in a forward fold from a therapeutic perspective.
Okay.
Now, you know, there's going to be some variations that you're going to see in people's bodies in class. And a lot of it depends on their ability to feel their body move in space.
Okay.
So I think it probably teaches people to feel that. And sometimes that alone too can bring up some fear in people.
Mm.
Yeah. And I talk a lot about that, that movement in yoga therapy can bring up fear. And sometimes people will have enough emotion that, and I try to watch for this, that mm-hmm. I will come up to them and say, you know, maybe sit this move out and take a blanket and wrap it around yourself, or let's place the blanket on your abdomen and you just rest. Mm, and okay. that gives them a sense of security again
yep.
and reassurance. because nice. It does bring up emotions.
Yes.
Yeah, it can uncover them.
It's so interesting, isn't it, how a movement practice can do that?
Yeah. Yeah. If you give yourself permission to really feel yourself move and open into a contraction, there is a lot of information contained within that.
Mm-hmm. Mm, lovely.
That's what excites me. And sometimes I have to watch my even own excitement because I want to be excited for people to feel and see themselves and say, this is an opportunity. But I have to sort of hold myself back sometimes, recognizing that not everybody is ready for that.
Right.
So it's always something new for me to learn as well.
Right. Okay. And allowing them to come to it on their own time and own terms.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you said that you want the body to guide the movement and not the mind. Do you find that that's a big kind of, I want to say sticking point, but a place where people, get kind of stuck, a challenging
sure.
place? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Especially, you know, I have to be careful how much of that I introduce in sort of your classic, you know, vinyasa flow classes. And the age group of the people that are there. If I have a lot of younger people in class, and this isn't true for everybody, but typically a lot of younger people will come to a vinyasa yoga class because it moves faster and there's a lot of strong moves in it.
Yeah.
And they're really interested in the fitness part of yoga versus getting themselves out of pain or introducing themselves to themselves from a deeper perspective.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. They're just not ready.
Yes. And so I'm going to throw a little bit of off topic stuff in here, but you know, recently I've been delving a little bit more into learning Ayurveda, and a couple of episodes on ago, I had our friend Bernie on speaking about Ayurveda. And so those younger people who are more interested in that flowy, fast, fitnessy kind of yoga, they're also more in the pitta phase of their life, aren't they?
Correct.
Right. Yes. So it all makes sense.
Yeah. It totally does.
Bring it all together. Yeah. Sorry.
The healer in me wants to say, yeah, that's the phase you're in. And not that we want to steal that from you.
Yes.
But let's make sure that's balanced.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You need to balance that pitta.
Yeah.
That fire in your body with, you know, calming as well. Because then you can do something with your pitta versus just, you know, pound on your life,
right,
so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah. That's difficult to comprehend though when you're, you know, in your 20s, even 30s. That's a little bit challenging for that age.
Right. Okay, so I just wanted to touch a little bit more on when I asked you who can benefit from this kind of practice. And I know you said that you'd love to say everyone.
Right.
Yeah, but it's kind of marketed or geared more for people who are having pain or, I don't even know if that's the right way to phrase it, but that's generally the people who come to it more, I guess, right? More often?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, yeah. So, you know, I probably see more people, you know, closer to middle-aged people and mostly women.
Okay.
So, you know, what I've also started doing is offering classes that are a bit more specific. For example, I will run a 6-week class on yoga therapy for low back and hip pain.
Oh, nice.
Yoga therapy for neck and shoulder pain.
Right.
And interestingly, though, the spine is always the central target.
Right.
So even though I divide the classes like that, and I will talk specifically how this move can help release tension in these particular areas, we're really still working with the whole body,
right?
Because we can't really leave anything out because we're so interconnected.
Yeah.
And the pain that we're holding may feel like it's in one spot, but it's being probably held or maybe is even being starts somewhere else.
Right.
Right. We're just feeling it in our low back, for example.
Yes.
So, you know, low back pain is really, really big. So my low back classes do very well.
Mm.
But yeah. we talk a lot about, you know, how it might not even just be your back. It could be coming from somewhere else in your body.
Like your foot.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you stand, yeah. how you hold your body. A couple of things that we talked about when I did my yoga therapy training is typically you'll meet people that hold their bodies in one of two ways. And we gave them certain terms, but they'll either hold themselves with their chest lifted and their tailbone is kind of jutted back and they have kind of a significant low back curve and they're almost okay. standing to attention all the time.
Yep.
And then they contract their body in that form. Mm. Or they'll be in the opposite where the chest is kind of caved in and the tailbone is turned under and their low back is flat. And they'll be holding their body in that position. And their body contracts because of that.
Okay.
And so that a lot can have a lot to do with how they perceive themselves. Do I perceive myself as powerful and having to thrust forward in life, so I have to hold myself this way?
Yes.
Or do I feel little and insignificant, so I kind of cower and hold my body this way? And, you know, the first thing we have to sort of talk about in class is recognizing how you hold yourself.
Right.
In order to even begin the journey of coming out of that. And that alone brings up emotion, right?
Yes. Well, then there's the question too of what came first, right? Was it the posture
Correct.
That led to the feelings or the feelings that started the posture?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
In a class, I don't really get too deep into that.
Yeah.
And I've always sort of desired and may do that is offer a class that introduces, and I do pranayama in all my yoga therapy classes, as well as a very short meditation.
Okay.
Because it's all of this is so interlinked.
Right.
But I would really like to extend the length of the classes to really introduce those two concepts that can be really powerful in you know, pain in the body.
Okay. And just in case someone doesn't know, pranayama is breath practice.
Breath. Yes. Correct.
Using the breath. Okay. So one of the reasons I wanted to touch back onto this is because I would tend to agree that pretty much anybody could benefit from this kind of practice, because I know you have taken me through a practice before and it feels great. It is a lot slower than, like, if you're going and expecting fitness, you're not getting fitness. Your heart rate's not coming all up, but it's Correct. Also not easy.
Right.
It's surprising at how difficult it is to do these, you were saying it's small movements, right?
Right.
And I know when you were cueing, I would think I was doing the movement, but I wasn't. Like, you'd say, no, that's not really it. Or I could feel, I'm like, yeah, no, I can't really access that movement.
Right, right, right. So in yoga therapy, we would call that sensory motor amnesia. Mm-hmm. And essentially what that means is, in very simple terms, the brain has sort of communicated to the body that you don't need to move that anymore,
right?
Because you're not using it. So we're going to forget about it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, eventually that sort of shows up as something, pain, dysfunction,
right?
Unable to move at all, tightness, contraction.
Yeah.
It'll show up. It will make its presence known. And then you have to figure out, your brain has to, you know, the brain neurological system has to reconnect with how to move that part of your body again, mm-hmm. because you forgot how.
Right.
I have to share experience with you.
Sure.
I taught a class prior to the pandemic and quarantine. I taught a class at a local studio here in town.
Okay.
And it was on their schedule, and it was actually just a 4-week class, and it was on their schedule as yoga therapy for, you know, low back and hips.
Okay.
And it was open to everybody. That's kind of how we set it up. They didn't have to come 4 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. They could just show up. It was kind of my way of introducing this teaching. And I had this gentleman come into class who just came from a cycling class.
Okay.
So, you know, very pitta oriented, if you yep. will, very driven, you know, had to work out hard. And when he came into class, he asked me what the class was about, and I explained it to him. And I said, you're going to be moving really slow and we're going to be using a lot of breath work and it's going to be deeper than for sure what you experience in a cycling class.
Okay.
And he's like, okay, where should I sit? Right. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Interestingly, now this is a male, young male who has a pretty high intense profession that he is in as well.
Okay. So
coming A-type. From a cycling class. Yes. Yeah. You might term him as an A-type personality.
Yeah.
Had the most profound experience in the whole class of people. He came up to me afterwards and he said, I had no idea that I couldn't even move that part of my body anymore. I didn't even know I had that part of my body.
Right.
I'd become so disconnected to it that I didn't even know it was like something I could even move.
Right.
So that's what can happen. So, you know, the opportunity is there for people who want to be fast and hard all the time. As long as, you know, they're sort of willing, like he was. He was just, he's like, okay, let's see what happens.
Right.
And, you know, to his amazement, he was introduced to something new he didn't even know he had.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, you know, speaking about athletes, I mean, I work with swimmers and I think about the people that have end up having shoulder issues. It's usually because those small muscles are not doing what they're supposed to do. The large muscles end up taking over. And yeah, a lot of these swimmers end up they're not able to move using those smaller stabilizing muscles
for their
shoulder
blades.
So I'm assuming, you know, in most athletic endeavors, there's something that's going to happen that's going to put your body out of balance. Probably the same kind of way that a swimmer would is that, you know, larger things take over because it's easier that way. And yeah,
correct.
Like you said, you don't end up listening to how those other muscles work. So, I mean, this sounds like it could be amazing to help athletes too, or anyone really.
Yeah. I would always hope that they would be interested if you can interest them in, you know, yet another cross training method, so to speak.
Yes. And that's something that would help them function better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. If the supporting or stabilizing muscles in the body are working really smart, then half the job that the bigger muscles are always doing gets divided, right? Because they have support. They're not doing it all. They have the support of the smaller stabilizing muscles.
Yes.
Yeah. It's our bodies are quite fascinating. It's just, are we willing to hear the messages in which it's trying to share with us?
Right. I love it. Yes.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Connecting back to the body and listening and so fascinating. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating how so many different practices all bring us back to that connection and listening.
Right.
Just in different ways. They're slightly different paths all coming to the same place.
Right. Yeah. There's a quote and I actually learned this in my Pilates training, not to my yoga therapy training, but it applies quite well to yoga therapy as well. If we would just listen to the whispers of our body, we would never have to hear it scream.
Oh. Oh. That just gave me chills.
Yeah. You know, it's so true, isn't it?
Yes.
But it causes us to slow down, or we have to slow down to hear it. And then we have to like trust that it's giving us messages that we should be paying attention to and then do something about it.
Yes. And I have said this before on different episodes with other guests. That is what COVID is doing to us.
Correct.
This is the message is that we need to slow down as a species and as a society. We're going too fast and we're not listening and we've lost touch with ourselves and our nature and the way that we're supposed to be. Although I don't like using that word supposed to, but it is. We've become so disconnected.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I love that all of this is bringing us back in.
Yeah. Well, I hope their larger population can really start to allow themselves to be introduced to ways in which they can connect with that as well. You know, there's sort of this world I feel like I and you live in, correct?
Yeah.
And we can see that. We can even see that in others. Yes. I can see that in their bodies. And I just sit back and, you know, pray that they too can recognize that they have the option now, because it's sort of been forced upon us.
Yes.
That there are new ways of navigating the world instead of always harder and faster and bigger and more.
Right.
Because that hasn't really gotten us to where we really want to be.
No.
It's you know, obviously, especially in the US, we have a lot of problems here because of that. Yeah. So,
well, here in Canada too, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the most interesting things I heard during all of this shutdown was we had just recently come through a, I guess, I don't know if political is the right term for it, but there's pipelines that are wanting to be put across the country, and it's going through Indigenous lands. And so there were huge protests about not putting these pipelines through the Indigenous lands where the Indigenous people have not said this is okay. And people were blocking rail lines, so railways. And there was a huge uproar, you know, and the whole kind of conversation about it is, well, you can't do that. You can't just stop everything like this. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, COVID hits. And what do?
Yeah.
We just stop everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And we're all still like here.
We survived it. We did. Yeah. And the whole conversation surrounding, you know, how you can't cut carbon emissions like that. Well,
Yes, we can.
Again, mic drop, right? By Mother Nature. It's like, yes, you can.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's brought in this whole new way of us to view things.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
It very much feels like a wake up call, doesn't it?
Yes. And I hope that we just, as a collective, I hope we make changes. We make good changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. So all of these practices that bring us to listening to ourselves and to going within ourselves, and like to use that as a little segue here into coming back to talking about you and I.
Right.
And that, so we met at a yoga retreat in Costa Rica.
Yes.
It would be almost 2 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah, I suppose in December.
In December would be 2 years ago. And so we got room together, had no idea who the other person was when we started. And yeah, next thing you know, it's like, hey, roomie, nice to meet you. and you know, our nights, we'd get into bed, you know, not too long after it got dark, which is, well, I guess it would be a little bit after it got dark because it gets dark pretty early there. It's like 5:30, 6 o'clock. So, but we'd get to bed, you know, fairly early, and then like a slumber party, like two teenagers or something, we'd be up, you know, for hours just talking about stuff. So
I know.
Needless to say, we hit it off famously and now we're great friends. And so I'm so glad that I met you. And so this whole talking about how your practice brings you within, you and I, before COVID, the plan was that we were going to be running a yoga retreat in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And
one of your favorite places.
One of my very favorite places in the world. And one day I will be living there. but yeah, we were running a retreat and before we get to that, we were going to run a retreat. And of course we had to cancel.
Yeah.
But we're planning on running it in the future.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes. And in 2021.
2021. And we're looking tentatively at the spring, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No specific dates yet, but we do know it will be in Costa Rica.
Yes.
And what else do we know about it? What would we like to share about it? Oh, the title. So the reason I segued to this is because all of these practices, you know, therapeutic yoga leads you to listen and to go within. And then there's some other practices that we both share a love of, like yoga nidra, that also draws you within. And yeah, uh-huh. all of these things, the breath practice, the meditation, is all going to within yourself. Correct. In order to live a more full, fulfilled kind of life, right?
Right.
And so the title, you go ahead.
Is A Way to Within.
Yes.
And you know, as you were speaking, I was thinking, when we were trying to come up with a title mm-hmm. of our retreat, which I thought was really difficult. And then you had this, so you know, amazing insight, which I think you received from somebody else.
Yes. And actually, I'd like to give her a quick plug here. So it was my coach, Jillian, Jillian Schecker. She's fantastic. I will put her information in our show notes. She is amazing at coming up with names for things and helping people kind of get themselves together on where they need to focus in life and business. So yes, Jillian provided this thought of a way to within.
Yeah. And it's so fascinating how someone I don't know, of course, we can sort of explain what we're wanting the retreat to look like. And she comes up with a name, and it absolutely fits from all perspectives, right? From everything we want to do at the retreat, the name nails it.
Yes.
We couldn't have picked a better name.
No, I don't think so either. And I love how we're going away to go within, but it's also a way, like the way to go within. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just like perfect.
Multiple meanings.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So do we want to share a little bit about what it would be? I think we should share a little bit.
Yeah, we should a little.
Okay.
And to let people know that we have a website that
we
would like people to go to.
awaytowithin.com. And we have a Facebook page, which is, I believe it's just A Way to Within.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which we've been a little bit quiet on because COVID has quieted us to within.
Yes.
But plan to get more active on that. So people get better introduced to who we are and what we're going to be offering. But yeah, go ahead. Tell them
what
some of the things you're going to do.
Yeah. So anybody who's interested, check out our website. Check out the Facebook group, you know, follow it, like it, so that when we start putting information out, you will be one of the first to know about what's going on.
Absolutely.
So it will be in Costa Rica. It will be, hopefully, we haven't picked an exact location, but I would assume anywhere that we pick is going to be near the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to be that far away from the ocean. And we will have, each day we will have sort of a combination of, you know, yoga, yoga nidra, meditation. The yoga may look a whole bunch of different ways. I know you really like doing a slow flow, correct?
Yep. Yes.
And
with a little therapeutic perspective to it.
Yes, infusing your therapeutic yoga. We will have, you know, the opportunity to go to the beach, to go on some excursions. I'm a big fan of not going away just to simply be in the one place. I really like to, when I travel, I like to have the opportunity to see around where I am. So there will definitely be some time where people can get out and explore the areas. There will be some excursions available. If we're lucky, we may even have the opportunity to go see turtles, because the area that we were looking at, which I'm assuming we would probably be around that area anyway, because it's a pretty popular location in Costa Rica. There's a lot of turtles nesting. So I have, in my times there, I have seen both turtles nesting and turtles hatching.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we're lucky, we can see that.
And remind me, because you've seen it, I haven't. Is that about this time of the year or earlier?
The nestings are usually, not usually in the spring. There's the olive Ridley turtles that usually nest sort of around. So we were looking around the area of Nosara, which is on mm-hmm. the Nicoya Peninsula. So yeah, they're the main turtles that come and nest. They're the turtles that come in big, they call them arribadas or arrivals. Other turtles will come separately, like they'll come individually, but these turtles come in like thousands at once. So it's a big thing to go and see them. But they nest usually in sometime around December, I think it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not sure if there would be hatching or nesting, but like I said, there's other mm-hmm. species that might come.
Yeah.
We might get to see that. Yeah.
So this is a little bit of an aside, but my husband and I have a lake home in Minnesota, the state next door, mm-hmm. Which is known for lakes, right? It's called the Land of 10,000 Lakes.
Okay.
And this time of the year is turtle nesting season.
Oh, nice.
So you see an abundance of turtles, you know, crossing the road to the lake or crossing the road to wherever they're headed to nest. And unfortunately, you see a lot of nests dug up by wild animals as well.
Yes.
So they have to be very clever. But you also see an abundance of snapping turtles come out. Do you guys have snapping turtles up there?
Not here, but in Ontario where I grew up, we did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So
you got to be careful of those ones.
Oh, but it's absolutely fascinating, right? You'll just turn to go down this road and there will sit this very large, you know, archaic looking snapping turtle.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fascinating. So anyway, it's kind of fun to watch.
They are really distinct looking, aren't they?
Very. Yeah. And they're very large. You know, some of them are, I don't know, as big as a garbage can cover.
Wow. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
They're cool animals.
So Darcy, do you want to let us know if someone wanted to study with you or learn more about what you're doing or really enjoys this conversation and thinks they would love to, you know, take a class with you or what kind of things are you doing? What's interesting that you have going on?
Yeah. So interestingly around here, mm-hmm. Well, first of all, you know, studios are just beginning to reopen after the quarantine. So there hasn't been a lot of that. And I have done some online teaching during the quarantine. I've found that yoga therapy is a little bit difficult for me to teach online, only in that it's such small, detailed work.
Right.
I really think people benefit the most from it when I'm in their presence and can, you know, sometimes give them touch feedback.
Okay.
So I will be doing live classes again, but because this forced me to be introduced to online yoga therapy, I really would like to start doing more of that online this fall. And the reason I say not until this fall is the area I live in tends to almost on a yearly basis shut down because everybody heads to the lake. And it's all about being outside because our season is so short. It really is hard to get people to go to yoga classes.
Yes.
The classes size drop significantly. Right. So I don't really introduce anything new, at least in person.
Yeah.
During the summer months.
Okay.
But my hope is also to, with these in-person classes this fall, is to bring more Ayurveda into it as well and run longer sessions, including that, and maybe do more online stuff. Mm.
So if someone wanted to connect with you or wanted to kind of see what you have going on, how might they do that?
Well, they can go to my website. It's just my name.com. So Darcy Newman, and that's NEUMANN.com. And of course, social media. My Facebook page is the same, my name. Okay. And my actually Instagram page, I started as the Rooted Yogi. So R-O-T-T-E-D. And then the word yogi, which I'm also. So social media and I aren't best friends. Okay. So I'm trying to figure out how to turn my Instagram page just into my name, and it keeps showing up as the Rooted Yogi. So I'm sort of working on that. So if you, you know, look for me, you can find me both ways.
Okay. And well, I'll list that in the show notes too, so people can reference it.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. So those are the best ways.
Okay. Awesome. So is there anything else that you would like to tell us about your practice or what you're doing or what you share that might be of interest?
Yeah. This is probably more for people who are local, but we'll see. Okay. In my younger days, before I got married, I used to do a lot of outdoor things. I went backpacking, Grand Canyon, Alaska.
Okay.
I canoed, I kayaked, I hiked. I did a lot of outdoor activities. I camped all the time.
Yeah.
And then I got married and my husband wasn't really big on it. And then I had, you know, a child who also is not very big on the outdoor activities, okay, unless there's a Holiday Inn next door.
Right.
Anyway, I still love it. So I connected with a local organization and I'm going to be leading some yoga and hiking trips this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll be in local parks and we have a lot of parks around here. So that should be kind of fun. So yeah.
Nice. Okay,
yoga and you'll
have that information on your website too?
I will.
So
yes,
if someone
when
is
they're solidly booked.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're in your area, they could check it out.
Yeah, they'll probably find that most likely on my Facebook page, but I'll try to get that on my website as well.
Okay, beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Darcy. This has been a great conversation.
It's been fascinating. I love to talk about what I do, of course.
Yeah, you can feel your passion as you're speaking about it and your knowledge, and it's great. Yeah.
Well, okay. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Darcy. I've really enjoyed this. Thank you to Darcy for sharing her knowledge and passion about yoga therapy with us today. And thank you so much for listening. Now, wherever you are, take a moment, pause, connect to your breath. Take a nice full deep breath in and a nice full relaxing breath out and go be awesome and find your serenity now.